It's finally here. It's game week for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. New Mexico State, the opener coming up on Thursday night. We're going to talk about that game and much more. Our normal Monday guest here on Kate Radio, the voice of Golden Gopher Athletics and, of course, the sports director at the Minnesota News Network, Mike Grimm, joins us. And, Mike, a good afternoon. And I'm sure as a broadcaster, you are ready for football coming up on Thursday.
I'm excited. Yeah, I really am. I feel energetic and ready to go. I mean, I think we talked about this maybe even last week. You know, it means summer is gone, and I really enjoyed the summertime. But this is my favorite time. Football season, the weather starts to cool a little, but we're not yet hopefully getting snow. And I think the Gophers have a pretty good football team, so it could be a pretty fun next few months.
Now, before we talk about the matchup against New Mexico State, I have not seen the line, but I'm assuming the Gophers are favored by a bunch. What are your thoughts on kicking off the season on Thursday night? We know college football usually on a Saturday, but the Gophers have been doing this for quite a while.
Well, it's a combination of things. Once the on-campus stadium got built in 2009, remember the first couple years the Gophers actually opened on the road. And part of the reason that is because the state fair is happening. And if you know the state fair on the weekends, they need all those parking spots at the football stadium and all those parking spots at the hockey arena to park people for the fair to shuttle over. So you can't have people tailgating there, taking up those lots. And then on the flip side, there's a lot of Gopher fans who also tailgate in the state fair lots and shuttle over on a Saturday. And those lots are obviously full as well. So it really became an issue once that stadium on campus opened that just through peer parking and those kind of things, Thursday night's different than Saturday of the state fair. And so they said, if you want to open and play that week, you need to play Thursday. And I like it. Personally, I'm in favor of it on that week. One, it sets up then the rest of the weekend for the Labor Day folks. And this is such a culture of cabins for many. This might be the final weekend they can go north. And when I first got to town, attendance wasn't very good at the Metrodome on those Labor Day Saturday games. And everyone said, why would you schedule that on a Saturday? Everyone wants to go north for the final time and not sit inside at the Metrodome. And now that they have an outdoor stadium, some people say, we'd like to sit outside that weekend. But it was a logistical issue there, and it also then frees up the rest of the weekend. So selfishly for me, I enjoy it. I like it. I like night games. I like under the lights. I think there's an extra added excitement to it. And it also then frees up the rest of the weekend for people to do what they want, you know. And for some that might be to even go to another game, you know. And others it might be to go fishing. Others might go golfing. Others might stay home and take a nap. I don't know. So I'm in favor of it. I know that there are some high school games on Thursday as well, but people kind of took that like, oh, the Gophers are kind of infringing on high school. But, you know, high school night's not Thursday either. They could choose to play their normal night Friday, and some high schools have, but they're doing the same thing. They want to play Thursday so that they have the rest of the weekend. So, it's a convenient situation for some. And so here we are with a whole bunch of action on Thursday night.
Now, Mike, I just looked it up. It looks like the line right now, 36.5-point favorites are the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And you talked about this a couple weeks ago. Jerry Kill, the head coach, New Mexico State. You said that not maybe a lot of talent for New Mexico State. You've been following the Gophers for a long time. I've been a longtime Gophers fan. 36.5 points is a lot. There's been a lot of games where the Gophers have been favored by double digits, 20-plus points, have not covered the spread. I have a hard time seeing the Gophers cover that, but I could be wrong.
Well, I agree with you, and the spread, that's you're looking at that live now, because I thought it might shrink a little because New Mexico State played on Saturday. They played Nevada, and they played them to a tough game. In fact, they outgained them. They were an 11-point underdog at home to Nevada, and Nevada was really good last year. They lost so much to graduation. They weren't expected to be great, and I think they were an 11-point favorite. Nevada was playing at New Mexico State, and I think the game ended up 9. I think it was 11, 23-12, so it was right on the number. Nevada won it, but New Mexico State outgained them. They turned the ball over five times, did New Mexico State, and still they were in the game late. So I thought maybe that spread would shrink a little because New Mexico State, I thought, you know, did a little better than maybe people thought. But I agree. I do not gamble on sports, although I do often reference the point spread only because it gives perspective. This is what the experts think will happen. It's not necessarily because I think people are betting. That said, I also do think it's a compelling conversation topic, and I enjoy talking about, you know, the idea of why this is this and why this is that, and the point spread comes into that. So if you're asking my betting advice, I would stay away from the game myself. That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
This offense for the Gophers, you know, there's no doubt they need to be better than they were last year. They'd love to be more like they were in 2019. And if this were the 2019 team, in fact, I think the 2018 team did pound New Mexico State pretty good at home. I remember Antoine Winfield had a punt return for a touchdown that night. I would be in. I have to see how this offense is going to look before I'm going to just give up 36 points, I suppose, on a wager, right? I mean, at a minimum, you got to score 35, just period. That's if your defense doesn't give up any. But if your defense happens to give up 10, now you're looking at scoring, you need 46, 47 points. And that's, and PJ has traditionally never run it up. He just, you know, once the game looks to be in hand, he will simply, you know, suffocate the opponent. And not just make it a slower death, so to speak, but not, he won't rub it in. I would say that would be a tough point spread to cover, but who knows? And the other thing that can switch is all of a sudden you get, you know, a pick six or a scoop a fumble or return a punt or block a punt, and all of a sudden you get some free points, and that can change it obviously either way.
Mike Grimm, the voice of Golden Gopher Sports, sports director at the Minnesota News Network, our normal Monday guest. We talked about this a little bit last week, Mike, and it's still a story. We got to bring it up. It's kind of taken away a little bit from the opener against New Mexico State. I saw some things on Twitter that Jerry Kill, former Gophers head coach, wasn't sure if he was going to shake PJ Fleck's hand before the game. My first question is, do the coaches do handshakes before the game and after the game? What's the normal ritual?
Yeah, they do. Usually the tradition is that head coaches at some point will, you know, gather around, you know, midfield and you know, just kind of shoot the breeze a little bit. You know, sometimes it's a 2-minute conversation, sometimes it's a 5 or 8 or 10 minute conversation, depending on if you're friends, and oftentimes it'll be a hug. You know, shake hands and a hug and talk. And I will say this, I know this for a fact, that is an important part of PJ Fleck's routine. He has commented on that before. And I think he is while he might be a little outside the box thinker, you know, and probably has a little bit of a different approach than most coaches, if you really get down to it, he is about as old school as it gets. He is really a student of the game. He is really, you know, into tradition. That's why he likes the college game so much. And you think about his style of play with the old school, grind it out and hand off and do those things. He's old school, and old school is a respect for the game, a respect for the opposition. You know, I've never once heard him talk down about an opponent, and never once heard him, you know, and in return, he wants that same respect. So there was a non-conference game this past season in last year where he actually commented to me, not on the air, but off the air. And I share this only as background, where he's like, I had to go find the guy. He, you know, usually you come out and he kind of took it personally, I would say, if I could be so bold as to speak for him a little bit, like, man, you know, he didn't come over. And I think one, he wants, you know, he wants the respect, but I think that's just part of the game. The head coaches go talk. Now I don't know, if that's specifically why Jerry Kill has particularly chosen this particular topic to say, I don't know if I'll shake his hand, knowing that this is an important thing to PJ Fleck, but most coaches do that handshake ahead of the game. And PJ last week on Friday, when he met with the media to talk about this game, of course he was asked about it, and he's like, look, I've been a head coach going now on 10 years. I've never not shaken a coach's hand. And to me, that was an indication that he intends to approach Jerry Kill and shake his hand. And then course, at that point, the ball will be in Jerry's hands as to whether he wants to extend his hand, I guess. And it's just weird to me that we're even talking about
it. I know.
not from you. I mean, I get it. I'm not blaming you at all because I think it's very compelling. I'm just amazed that we're talking about it because, you know, the opposing coach, Jerry Kill, just has made it an issue a couple of times here. I wish he wouldn't have done that.
Gopher football coming up on Thursday night. Of course, all the action here on Kate. Pregame at 6. Kickoff with a Mike and a Daryl Thompson and company at 8 o'clock on your home for Gopher Sports. Mike Grimm, Monday. And, Mike, let's stay, I guess, talking about football. I did watch the second half of the Vikings preseason game on Saturday night. And please, somebody, stop the preseason games. I mean, I've never been so bored in my entire life watching the second half of that Vikings-Broncos game. And what was weird, that I wasn't even sure at first where the game was being held. I don't know if you watched the game on Saturday, but there was no logo out there at the 50-yard line. There was no words in the end zone. They were just playing. There was no Broncos or Denver. And the whole preseason game on Saturday, again, I'm so glad that regular season football is right around the corner, because I think all three preseason games, which the Vikings went 0-3, were pretty boring. They were.
Yeah, I didn't watch one snap, quite frankly, Saturday. I was watching college football. I watched the Twins playing the Giants on Saturday as well. So, yeah, I didn't watch one second of it. And I agree with you. I've been a proponent of preseason games. Because at some point, usually in the past, you've seen the starters for a while. And I think you and I have talked about this. This dates all the way back to my time in St. Louis. I used to think what they should do is play one home preseason game, one road preseason game, and then a neutral site preseason game, and take the NFL around to places, you know, that don't get NFL games, that there might be more interest, because, you know, fans who see regular season football on a regular basis in the Twin Cities and Green Bay and Chicago, Kansas City, name it, they don't want to watch preseason. However, if all of a sudden you take a Kansas City Chiefs, Minnesota Vikings preseason game and play it at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska, I think there'd be some folks that would go watch that and get a kick out of it, even if the starters barely played. You know, you go play it at Cyclone Stadium, Jack Trice Stadium down in Ames, or Norman, Oklahoma, you know, some college spots, even some municipalities, you know, Birmingham, Alabama, you know, someplace, you know, play the Falcons Saints or something there. That used to be my philosophy. I always wish they had done that, because I think it would help the game, and I think people would appreciate getting to see a game. You know, you couldn't play one every year in Lincoln, Nebraska, but, you know, twice a decade, three times a decade, and move it around. Heck, the Fargo Dome, something, right? But I'm to the point now where we're seeing where there's no starters playing, there's no interest, it's boring. Even ratings, you know, used to be ratings even in preseason games were off the charts, and that has not been the case. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm ready. You know, and basically now they're using these joint practices as an excuse not to play starters because they're getting game reps. So I don't know what the answer is, because they do need some evaluation to find those spots. And really, I think we talked even last week, you know, you're talking about, what, five to seven spots out of 10 to 12 guys?
Correct,
You know, like I even said last week, you and I could probably sit down, and there's 53 on the roster. You and I could probably sit down, go through the roster, and figure out 45 of them, like these guys are in, and now you got to find, you know, five or six or seven out of the next best 10. And so even then, it isn't as if it's, it's hard. You got to tell if you're a coach, a bunch of guys are getting cut. But, how many games do you need to determine that? And I don't know the answer to that. And then on top of it all, they're kind of holding season ticket holders hostage, because to get the season ticket package, you have to pay for that game, you know.
Yeah, that's one of the worst parts, is that season ticket holders have to buy that game or buy those games for the Vikings this year. Just one home preseason game, because they get 9 home games and 8 road games. Again, season opener coming up a week from Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. Mike Grimm, Monday, the voice of Golden Gopher Sports and sports director, Minnesota News Network. Let's talk about the Minnesota Twins. And it's been that kind of summer for everybody in the American League Central. There's streaks, good streaks and bad streaks. And You know, the Twins, they see Cleveland lose 3 of 4 in Seattle. They sweep the Giants, and just like that, the Twins are right back on the doorstep, just 2 games back of the Guardians as we almost wrap up the month of August. So Twins fans that maybe jumped off the bandwagon after they fell behind by 4 games, maybe got right back on after a sweep against a Giants team that has struggled. And if you're going to win a division, you have to beat up on the bad teams at home. And the Twins, they took care of business this weekend.
Yeah, I actually, didn't they fall down by 5? Weren't they down 5 last
Maybe it
Thursday
was 5. Maybe it was 5.
I think it was 5, so to get it to 2 that quickly. Yeah, but you're right, that's the way it goes. The White Sox have lost, what, 4 or 5 in a row now?
8 of 10.
They're 5.
They're done. Put a fork in my team, Mike. They're done.
they're about 5 back. Well, hopefully the Twins can handle them then and put them out of their misery. Of course, the Twins have the Red Sox starting tonight. And look, the Red Sox are in they're last place in the AL East, playing a last place team. And then you look at it, they're 62-66. They're about 4 games below what the Twins are, if you were to put them in the same division. So it isn't as if you're playing nobody. You know, they have a high payroll, so you hope to take care of business there. And then I know they got the Yankees in New York next week, and the Yankees have not played well the last couple of months. They're still in first place. They still have a great record because they started so spectacularly, at the beginning of the year, right up to the All-Star game. They've not been as good lately. So maybe this is a chance if the Twins can go out to New York next week. I believe it's a 4-game series, and if they can split that series, I think that'd be, a little bit of, some positive vibes, because if you do make the postseason at some point, you might have to face that group. But right now, they simply just have to go out and I'm going to sound like a coach or a manager here, but go out and win the game today. That's it. Just stack wins, as they say, and hope Cleveland falters. And then they got Cleveland head-to-head and the White Sox head-to-head. So if they take care of business, there's no doubt they can make the postseason. They've got to do what they do, beat the bad teams and hold your own against the good teams and see where that takes you.
You mentioned the Yankees at one point, and it wasn't that long ago, they had, I think, the best record in baseball, and now they have the 4th best record behind the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Houston Astros. They're 78-50, which is still a very impressive mark. But you mentioned how good a start they got off to. I think they led the second-place Rays by 13 or 14 games, and the lead is 7.5, which is still very comfortable in the month of August or going into September. So the Twins, we know they've had their struggles against the Yankees, but I guess if there's a good time and for maybe the Twins to change their ways against the curse of the Yankees, maybe they're getting the Bronx Bombers at the right time.
Yeah, no doubt, because, and you think about, you have the Red Sox and the Yankees, it'd be 7 times over the course of about 10 or 11 days. And you'd normally say to yourself, oh, that is a killer stretch of the schedule, but it really isn't. As we mentioned, the Sox are 4 under .500. You hopefully take care of business then. And then I think aside from trying to go out to New York and win those games, it's a statement situation. They have struggled, the Yankees, and if you can go win a couple out there, maybe that changes the tone or the tenor of how you can put – a little bit of, you're not going to end that curse unless you beat them in the postseason. But maybe mentally, if you could go out and handle business against them while they're struggling, that can at least put a thought in your own mind that, hey, this is doable, and a thought in their mind that, hey, this team isn't just going to roll over the way it seems they have against that group for years now. I think it's interesting. I think next week when that 4-game series is over, obviously the standings are going to be what the standings are, but I think I'm eager to see where the Twins are at that point, knowing then that it's full steam ahead with a bunch of matchups with the White Sox and Guardians after that.
Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday, voice of Golden Gopher Sports and sports director, Minnesota News Network. We'll hear from Mike before next Monday because, again, Gophers taking on New Mexico State at Huntington Bank Stadium. Opener on Thursday night. All the action right here on your home for Gopher Athletics. Pregame at 6, 2-hour pregame. Kickoff at 8. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Have a great week. Enjoy the broadcast on Thursday. Again, we'll hear from you and Daryl Thompson Thursday night. And we might not talk next Monday because of Labor Day, but we'll talk sometime next week.
Yeah, I refuse to work on Labor Day. No, I'm just teasing. if we want to talk, we can. Otherwise, we could do Tuesday next week too. But look forward to it. Yeah, I'm really, really excited about Thursday, and let's get that win number one under the Gopher belt here.